Where warp meets weft.
Where warp meets weft.
This is Weavecast with Sine Mitchell.
Welcome to episode 8, First Warps Free. This episode will go over all the latest weaving news. I'll give a report on how I've been spending your donation money to improve the show. Then I lose control of my own podcast as the tables are turned on me and I am interviewed. Finally, we'll have today's audio essay, First Warps Free, in which I describe how last Saturday I spent the afternoon corrupting Seattle's youth. I've got a lot of exciting news this episode. There's been a brief mention of Weavecast in the latest Handwoven magazine. In the news and views section, there's about a half a page that talks about the podcast and has a picture of me interviewing Judith McKenzie in my very first Weavecast interview. Had I known that picture was going to end up in a publication, I would have worn a better shirt. But it was still great to see the article. And there's been a big response to it already. It hasn't hit the newsstands yet, but it is showing up in subscribers' mailboxes. And already, downloads have gone through the roof. So if you're a new listener just now checking out Weavecast, welcome. It's great to have you with us. I've got some great interviews coming up in the next couple of shows. I've been talking to Bonnie Tarsis and Lillian Whipple. If you're a new listener and you have questions about how to set up subscription software so you don't miss any of these great future episodes, please check out the FAQ. That's a frequently asked questions page available at www.weavecast.com. Or if you get really stuck, you can always email me at sine@weavecast.com. That's sine@weavecast.com. I've got some wonderful submissions for the Halloween episode. Lots of treats and fun things planned for that show. So don't miss it. And there's still time to participate in that show. I've got lots of matter seeds left. As you'll recall, last episode, I blatantly bribed listeners to submit weaving horror stories and tips for slaying a reed. If in the month of October I get those, either as email or audio comments, I will send you a packet of matter seeds from my garden. Also, Brenda Dane's Cast On podcast will have its 1-year podiversary on Halloween. 1 year of Cast On. So trek on over to her podcast, that's www.cast-on.com, for some new treats over there too. You can consider it your trick-or-treating this year. We've got some donations, and I would like to thank Gina and Cynthia, who donated in memory of Ralph Griswold. I'm honored that you would consider donating to Weavecast, a tribute to him. Over the past few months, many generous folks have pledged funds to help support Weavecast. And I think it's time to share with you what that generosity has helped me do for the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to one Rockin' Fiber Babe. You're great. Talk to you later.
No, I didn't hire a handsome young voice actor to call me up every few minutes and tell me how wonderful I am. That's the new Weavecast voicemail line. And the voice, by the way, is my husband who did that and surprised me. Thank you, sweetie. I've mentioned before that I would love to get your stories on Weavecast, your tales of woe, your triumphs, your weaving tips. And now participating in Weavecast is as easy as picking up a telephone. The number is 1-206-734-4411. This voicemail was really inexpensive. It's $12 for 3 months, and I figured I'd give it a try. If folks use it, I'll keep it. If not, I'll cancel it. So if you would like to be able to call in and perhaps ask a weaving question, maybe you're stuck on a warp or something strange is happening as you're weaving and your selvages are going wonky, please feel free to call 1-206-734-4411 and ask a question, leave a tip, just say hey, whatever. I would just love to hear from you. That's one thing your donations have helped fund. The other improvement, and this, I just can't tell you how happy this makes me. I was able recently to acquire professional audio editing software. Up through episode 5.5, I was doing all my editing in Audacity, which is a free audio editing software program. And it is pretty darn good, especially considering that it is free and brought to you through the generosity of programmers who donate their time to build it. However, it is not thoroughly tested. There were several instances where I would spend hours editing and Audacity would just crash and I would lose all of that work. I went shopping on eBay and I found a shrink-wrapped, completely legal, non-pirated version of Adobe Audition. And I was able to get it for quite a good price. And it was really funny because I was sitting there typing away, making my eBay purchase. And my husband looked over and he said, "Honey, what you doing?" I looked back and I said, "Buying audio editing software?" And there was a pause. "Honey, how much does it cost?" And I can't tell you what a wonderful feeling it was to look back at him and be able to say, "Dear, you don't have to worry about that. The listeners are buying this." So thank you very much for making it possible for me to buy professional audio editing software. The sound quality in episodes 6 and 7 has been markedly improved. The telephone interviews in those were actually quite scratchy, but Adobe does an amazing job of polishing the audio. With a single click of a button, I can erase all the pops and hissing from an interview. They've got a lot of preset stuff, which is making it really easy for me to deliver better sound. And that just makes me so happy because I really would like to get the show up to smooth FM radio sound. That's my goal. And Adobe Audition is really a big step on that road. So thank you for supporting Weavecast. And in addition to my thanks, you have the thanks of your fellow listeners because they're getting better quality audio and some nifty new features like being able to call in and participate in the show. If you're interested in helping to support this show, go up to the main blog site. There is a donations link up at the top. Donations help offset the cost of server fees and traveling to interviews and help upgrade the equipment that I use to produce the show. So it really is important, and I thank you. I went looking on the PodSafe Music Network for a song that would express my gratitude for all the wonderful listeners who supported Weavecast. And I couldn't find anything that wasn't either incredibly sappy or maudlin. So I went with funny instead.
If you got the money, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll make all the night spots dance, drink beer and wine. If you got the money, honey, I've got the time. Used to tear let's start out tonight. We'll spread joy, oh boy, and we'll spread it right. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. You got the money, honey, I've got the time. If you got the money, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonking, and we'll have a time. Bring along your Cadillac, leave my old wreck behind. If you got the money, honey, I've got the time.
That was Merle Haggard's If You've Got the Money. So last episode, I said I was toying with the idea of doing Weavecast more often than once a month. And because of the overhead involved with interviews, scheduling them, making contact, going there, or scheduling a phone call, I would have to have some shows with no interview. And I've done that before, but usually when I just had a really offbeat theme that didn't fit into the Weavecast scheme of things. So I sat down to write a Weavecast show with no interview. I could talk about anything at all. And I just couldn't do it. And I was flopping around the house, wrestling with my podcasting muse. And my husband said, well, have you ever thought about interviewing yourself? Something one of my interviewees had said made me realize that being interviewed is a bit stressful. And I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to sit on the other side of the interviewing table and get a feel for what all these wonderful weavers who talk to me are going through. And I thought it'll also be fun. So I immediately said, oh, great. Thank you for volunteering.
Well, welcome to Weavecast. And I'm not Sign Mitchell. I'm Eric Nyland. And today I'm going to be interviewing Sign for the show.
A little bit nervous.
Yeah, you're not in control of your own show.
Oh, no.
Why don't we just start, Sign? How did you become a podcaster?
It was almost by accident. I had been listening to a bunch of knitting podcasts and really enjoying them. I'd listened to KnitCast and Cast On, and I was having a great time. But then I started looking for the weaving podcasts, and you know, there just weren't any out there.
Why do you think that is?
I think the knitting community is a lot larger, and there's been a real insurgence of young knitters who are technologically savvy. I think that there haven't been that many weavers going to the internet for that same kind of content.
Podcasting about weaving is kind of a weird combination. Podcasting, web development, weaving. How'd you get all those skills?
Well, it wasn't a plan. I'm one of those people who's always developing new interests. It was pretty cool. When I started the podcast, I suddenly realized that I'd had this perfect storm of background to do the podcast. I had spent years at Microsoft doing web development, so I brought that to it. I spent 12 years as a professional writer, so I know how to tell a story, and writing the audio essays at the end of each Weavecast is actually pretty easy for me. What was difficult was picking up the audio editing side of it, because I had no background in audio. And so I quickly had to buy a lot of books, do research, go up to eBay, get a lot of cheap equipment, and kind of cobble it together and learn on the fly. And I'm really grateful that my listeners have suffered through all that with me, and they're still here.
So what does it take to put together an episode of Weavecast in terms of time and effort on your part?
It takes an appallingly large amount of time. I spend about 45 minutes to an hour actually doing the interview, and I cut that back down to about 20 minutes with their setup time and their chit-chat. And I usually spend an hour to 2 hours driving to the interview because I'm kind of out here in the boonies. So the interview, just getting the audio, is about 3 hours. Then recording my own audio bits that fill in around the interview takes another 1 to 4 hours, depending on how good a day I'm having. But what really sucks up the time is the audio editing. There is a lot of going through the audio linearly and clipping out all the mistakes and the ums and the ahs and the, you know, the place where I dropped the microphone. Unlike editing text, you can't skip ahead. You have to go through it.
Well, you sound preternaturally good on the show, so it must be worth it.
It's all a good mic and lots of audio editing.
Well, tell me one thing. Why do you do Weavecast? It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of money. You could be out there working a 9-to-5 job. You could be rubbing your husband's feet. But, you know, it takes a lot of time and money. And I'm just wondering, why do you do it?
I'm very excited about weaving. Often when I interview somebody, they say, the first time I sat down and wove, I just knew that's what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And I was one of those people. I've been weaving for several years, and it just, the passion is still there. It's one of those crafts that you could spend a lifetime learning about. What gets me about Weavecast is I am very blessed to live in a part of the country that has many, many talented weavers. And I am part of a very large and enthusiastic guild that brings in weavers from all over the country. So I get to listen to these people give programs on a regular basis. What's cool about Weavecast is I get to talk to these weavers and get their stories and then put them out on the internet so anybody could listen to them. And I think that's very cool and very powerful. And I think someone needs to do it. And since nobody else was, here I am.
You think it's some sort of evolution of the traditional oral handing down of skills from one generation to the other?
Yeah, I think it's important to get not only the weavers' techniques like we can get from the books, but also their stories. Find out more about them as people, what drives them to do their art. Often when talking to these weavers, I get inspirations for other crafts, like with my novel writing. I'll hear a weaver say, I didn't reach a professional level until I really started to take my work seriously. And I realized that that could apply to any craft. So that gets me very excited. And also, it's just a heck of a lot of fun to talk to these ladies and gentlemen because they have a lot of passion for what they do. And they've had to work hard to be successful in a career that, I mean, any art field is a struggle to make a living in it.
Yeah, and, tell me about it.
Yeah, tell me about it. What they've had to overcome and the passion they bring to it, and often they're just really neat people to talk to anyway. I'm just very grateful that so many great weavers have been willing to talk to me and be on the show.
The listeners, how have they responded to your podcast?
The listeners are great. I've gotten tons of encouraging comments and a surprising number of donations. Every time I get a donation, it feels like somebody is investing in Weavecast, that somebody else thinks it's as important as I do. And that is just a great feeling. And it also gives me the ability to upgrade the tools I use to build a Weavecast and bring better quality sound to the show.
What has surprised you most from both the podcast doing it and what surprised you the most from your listeners' responses?
What surprised me most about the listener responses is, I should knock wood here, they have been unfailingly positive. The enthusiasm of the listeners has been very gratifying. It makes me feel like I'm doing a good job.
Yeah. What is the hardest thing about doing Weavecast, aside from the audio editing?
Oh, man, but I was going to talk about the audio editing. I mean, I dream of having, you know, a little minion come and do my audio editing for me. But
isn't there just a button you could push
and it just... make good audio.
Yeah.
No, alas, not. Other than the audio editing, the hardest part is finding the time. You know, I'm a mom of a very active 3-year-old. I've got my own weaving that I want to do. I've got the house to keep clean, the husband's feet to rub. There's just a lot going on, so it's hard to carve out time.
You're kidding about that feet thing, right?
Oh, well.
What are your plans for Weavecast in the future?
I'm always on a quest to improve Weavecast. My ultimate goal is to make it sound as good as NPR radio. Because I grew up listening to NPR talk radio, and so that is the gold standard I'm holding it to. So I'd like to get really good quality audio. I'd love to get more contributors to Weavecast. It would be great if one day it could be a paying venue for people. But in the meantime, I would love to have listeners call in with questions or share their stories. It'd be great if Weavecast could become this nexus, kind of weaving together everybody's stories.
Yeah.
To build a show that wasn't just Sign Mitchell's view on weaving, but the community's view on weaving.
You know, you have that new voicemail, and that works really well.
Yeah, incredibly sexy men have sent me voicemail with that, so I'm quite pleased, yes.
Yeah, your husband's not so pleased about that. Anyway, well, let's wrap this up. You've been listening to Eric Nyland interview Sign Mitchell, and this has been Weavecast.
Thank you. Coming up next, we have today's audio essay, First Warps Free. And to get us in the mood, I'm going to play you a song by David Ippolito called This Hill is Filled with Children. It's from his album, The People on the Hill.
You want to know what I think, if I may be so bold? If this hill was filled with children of just 4 or 5 years old, and I should ask if anyone would like to sing a song, every hand would shoot up in the air, and y'all would sing along. And if this hill was filled with children, and I should ask by chance, is there someone who loves music and who really loves to dance? Well, I've a feeling there would be no time for a heart to take a beat. And everyone underneath this sun would spring up on their feet. Well, I've got some news for all of you that may come as quite a shock. This hill is filled with children, we've just been around the block. We've been taught to be grown up, you gotta take fun in stride. But maybe now it's finally time to own up to the truth, we're all still kids inside. When this hill is filled with children, and we're all singing loud, there is magic in the music, and there's wonder in the crowd. There's this miracle that happens, we all feel like we belong. And each of us can take that feeling home, when we all take home a song. Open up and let it flow, let music fill your senses. Don't you feel like letting go? Lower your defenses. Can you feel it as the feeling multiplies? As your voices fill the skies. And now I don't mean to be preaching, and I guess all I'm trying to say is that the very heart of childhood is never far away. We had it all when we were small, we knew such freedom then. And if we try, I see no reason why we can't have that back again. This hill is filled with children now, of every age and size. You may feel so much like grown-ups, but I see it in your eyes. Don't be afraid to let it out, there's no need to hide. We're safe and sound when we're around each other. It's just us, and we're all still kids inside. This hill is filled with children.
today's audio essay, First Warps Free, a tale of how I spent last Saturday corrupting the youth of Seattle. Okay, here's the setup. I was invited to a book launch party for a YA novel called Avial of Rhea. And the author of this young adult novel just put on a fabulous show. She had teenage actors representing characters in the book. She had lovebirds because birds played a large part of the book. She had food, live music, and because the main character in the book is a weaver as well as a princess, she had me. Now, I had never done a demo for kids before, but I love weaving and I love teaching when it's something that I'm excited about and the student's excited about. So I signed on for this gig. The author's idea was to promote the book and have a picturesque weaver in the background doing her little weavery thing. I had my own agenda. My goal during this party was to get as many children as possible behind the loom actually weaving. That's right. Like I said in the title, First Warps Free. So I plotted against them with the warp. I strategically picked a project to entice children and teenagers to guarantee them success and cost me very little money. I had gotten some really cheap crochet cotton and I thought, I will never use this. What am I going to do with this white crochet cotton? Because I have no interest in making doilies. So when I went to my stash looking for something incredibly strong, incredibly cheap, that I would not feel bad if it got mangled by small children, I reached for the crochet cotton. It was essentially free and strong enough that there were going to be no broken warp threads. So the next thing I had to do was pick a structure, and I decided plain weave. So anybody who sat behind the loom would be successful. Two treadles, over one, under one. You can't get any simpler than that. And I set it up so that the shuttle went from the side that the foot was treadling. So if you were treadling with your left foot, you threw the shuttle from the left. Made it as easy as possible. Even set the treadles as far away as possible in my tie-up and untied all the treadles that weren't being used. So there was no way they could pick the wrong treadle. But I was going to have a white warp and plain weave. Is there anything more boring than that? So I got strategic. I pulled out my Procyon MX dyes and I painted the warp. I did it in two batches and then interleaved them to make stripes. And if you want to learn more about warp painting, check out episode 2 of Weavecast. I interviewed Molly Freeman and we talked about warp painting. It is a wonderful technique that creates a watercolor-like effect where colors bleed into each other. It kind of shifts gently from one color to another. And I picked colors that would match the dust jacket of the book just because, you know, I knew there were going to be a lot of the books around. And I thought it would be a fun way to blend with the landscape and also personalize the warp. The colors were blues and greens and a little bit of rose and just a touch of yellow to spark things off. Looked really, really pretty. I wound the warp 5 yards long because that would use up all of the crochet cotton. And that was my goal. For those of you who like details, the crochet cotton was 2 ounces to 400 yards, which worked out to about the same weight as an 8-2 cotton. So I slayed it at 24 ends per inch to give it a nice warp-faced fabric, and I set it so that it would be 10 inches wide in the reed because I wanted scarf width because I didn't know how big the kids were going to be, and narrow warps are easier to weave, especially if your arms aren't so very long. Plus, I didn't know exactly how many hours I would be at the demo, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't run out of warp, and I didn't. It actually... It was pretty amazing how quickly the warp got used up once people started playing on the loom. So I was glad I had 5 yards. I used up probably 4 of those yards at the demonstration in about 4 to 5 hours. I show up at the bookstore, towing my baby wolf behind me, and go into the back room and change into a green velvet medieval gown. In my youth, I was heavily into the Society for Creative Anachronism, which is a medieval reenactment group, so I had a quite nice green velvet gown to wear. I was very pleased that the gown I had made in my early 20s still fit, if perhaps a titch tighter than it used to be. And I discovered that by putting a costume on, it made me more approachable. People knew who was doing the demo. And you can't be intimidated by somebody wearing funny clothing. Silly is approachable. So I set up the loom and I sat down and I started to weave. And whenever somebody would come by, I would smile and greet people, say hello, and people would come and ask questions about the loom. And as soon as somebody engaged me in conversation, I would say, oh, would you like to weave? I kind of felt like a fiber pusher after a while. I invited everyone to weave. People in their 80s, 3-year-old girls, men, women, teenagers, anybody who showed any interest in the loom. I tailored my pitch to the audience. There was an 11-year-old boy who sat down at the loom and started to weave. I could tell he was a smart kid and that he liked being a smart kid. So I challenged him with math, because the way to catch a smart kid is to ask him a hard question. And I said, hey, did you know that looms were the very first computers? And I explained how the threads actually programmed patterns into the cloth, and how Jacquard looms had punch cards, and that soon translated into the early computers. He asked, how much warp is on the loom? Because he was having a fun time weaving, and I think he was worried about using too much of it up. I said, well, I put 5 yards on this morning, and if there are 3 feet to a yard, how long is that warp? And he grinned, and he said, 15 feet. And then he said, how many inches? And so we proceeded to sit there and figure out in our heads how many inches 15 feet were. And after that, he was hooked. He actually came back 2 or 3 times to weave, and he started bringing me food, and he was probably my favorite. Totally won over to weaving. But other people, I won with the prettiness of a warp. There was a 7-year-old girl who walked up, and she was like, ooh, the colors are so pretty. They look like a sunset. And so we started talking about the colors and how I'd painted the warp and how the colors interacted when they ran into each other. I discovered a technique that worked well for letting beginners have their first taste of weaving. I would set the kid up behind the loom, adjust the bench so that they were at a good distance. Show them the basics, explain, you know, you push this treadle, you throw the shuttle, you beat. And then I would stand next to them and completely ignore them. I discovered that if I paid too much attention to them, it made them nervous. So I would stay present in case they had a question, but I would talk to their parents, I would talk to a stranger walking by, and trust the loom to teach them all they needed to know about weaving. And I would look down occasionally. If they were doing something hideously wrong, I might give a slight correction. But overall, I just let them play. The goal in a demonstration is not to make perfect cloth, but to make weavers. And from time to time when I looked down, I would find something to praise. I wouldn't lie, I wouldn't make stuff up, but every weaver, no matter how new or awkward, does something right. One kid who was incredibly clumsy and kept dropping the shuttle had a great beat. Another kid had beautiful selvages. I tried to be honest and specific when I gave praise. And when somebody made a mistake, like one girl accidentally dropped the shuttle and then picked it up and inadvertently twisted the shuttle around a group of warp threads, I first commiserated and explained that I drop the shuttle all the time too, which is absolutely true. And then I proceeded to show how an error can lead to innovation in weaving. I showed her how taking the shuttle and wrapping it around warps, you can actually create Brooks bouquet. And she thought that was really cool. And it was a way to take her mistake and turn it into a fun learning experience. My favorites during the demo were the repeat customers. There were two or three kids that I just couldn't keep away from the loom. These were the kids who, every time they had an opportunity, were weaving on the loom. And sometimes I had to chase them away so other kids could have a chance. And there were some parents, I think, who were kind of irritated at me because they had to physically drag children away from the loom. That was good for my heart. All in all, that Saturday, more than a dozen kids and three adults got their first taste of weaving. And by the end of the day, I was over the moon. It was so much fun. And I love to think that in the future, one of those kids might try weaving again. One of those boys I got to sit down behind the loom might realize that weaving is not just a girl thing. One of those girls might join a weaver's guild. The upshot is, I may have hooked some kids on weaving this past Saturday. I know for sure that they hooked me on teaching weaving. That's all for this episode. Next time, we've got our Halloween episode, which I'm very excited about. We'll be interviewing Bonnie Tarsus, and she's going to talk about horoscope weaving and a technique that she calls Easy Ikat. And now it's time to get warped, because everyone knows you have to be warped to weave. WeaveCast is brought to you through the generosity of its donating listeners. I'd also like to thank the musical guests who share their talent on the PodSafe Music Network.